You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Two UH-1 Hueys, along with two Ospreys, flew 9 sorties, approximately 21 flight hours in search of the missing aircraft.
That was Pentagon spokesman Colonel Steve Warren. Meanwhile, recovery efforts continue in Nepal after yesterday's earthquake. Jima Jioli, an aid worker with Save the Children, says the psychological impact of the second earthquake was almost as devastating as the physical impact.
Shops had started to open. People had begun to feel safe enough that they had given up their tents and gone back to living in their homes again. And yesterday has just completely put everybody back to square one.
At least 65 people have been killed in the latest earthquake. The 5-day ceasefire that took effect in Yemen yesterday is already being tested. A jet fighter from a coalition led by Saudi Arabia today struck a military convoy belonging to Iranian-backed Shiite rebels. This is USA Headline News.
Geico is available 24/7. Unlike Billy, my boyfriend, who is apparently available 24/7. And with Geico's claim status update, after I report a claim, I receive update alerts through my Geico app. Did you hear that, Billy? Update. Alerts. I sure would like to be updated on why you can't return a text. Maybe I should just be dating Geico.
Claim status updates. Just a few taps away on the Geico app.
The jury that convicted Boston Marathon bomber Zhohar Tsarnaev will now decide whether he should be executed. AP correspondent Rita Foley reports.
Bomber Zhohar Tsarnaev didn't react to the graphic testimony as witness after witness testified about losing limbs or loved ones on that day 2 years ago. But jurors will not be allowed to consider his apparent impassivity, nor will they be allowed to consider the tears of the victims. Emotions are not evidence, the judge told them. They will be allowed to consider mitigating factors, including his young age and the influence of his radicalized, now dead, older brother Tamerlan. I'm Rita Foley.
New York City police say they have shot and critically wounded a man who was swinging a hammer at an officer in Midtown Manhattan. They say the suspect was wanted in 4 hammer attacks earlier in the week. Both officers are being treated at a hospital. Their injuries are not serious. NATO foreign ministers are meeting in Turkey to talk about multiple issues, including the crisis in Ukraine, Syria, and the rest of the Middle East. They are getting a rundown from U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, who spent yesterday in Russia meeting with officials, including President Vladimir Putin. Kerry and Putin were trying to ease tensions largely created by disagreements over Ukraine. U.S. stock indexes are little changed in midday trading. The Dow has edged up 6 points, the S&P is up 2, and the NASDAQ has gained 11. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
For too long in America, we've been putting off funding infrastructure, saying we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But on August 1st, 2007, hundreds of vehicles tried crossing the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and disaster struck. The I-35 bridge collapsed. 13 people were killed, 145 were injured, and traffic was obstructed for over a year. It didn't have to happen. Years before, inspectors had rated the bridge structurally deficient, but they were ignored. In New Jersey, we have 479 bridges carrying 8.2 million vehicles a day that are rated worse, and we can't afford to ignore that. As of June 30th, the state's Transportation Trust Fund will be empty. We need to replenish it so that our roads and bridges can be fixed and future problems prevented. And we can. Go to forwardnewjersey.com to find out how. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Welcome to the second hour of Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's about 4:07 already on May 13th. Hope you're having a great day. I want to give you a little update on the forecast if you happen to be in the central New Jersey area. This afternoon, partly sunny with a high near 66. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 42. Thursday, sunny with a high of 70 and then mostly clear Thursday night with a low around 46. Mostly sunny all day on Friday with a high of 73 and then a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low about 57 on Friday night. Saturday, chance of showers continuing, mostly cloudy with a high near 78. About 40% chance of precipitation throughout the day and through the evening, mostly cloudy with a low of 61. And then Sunday, chance of showers again, partly sunny with a high of 78 and then mostly cloudy Sunday night with a low around 58. I'm in studio today. Colleen Kelly was here with me earlier this afternoon. It was great. But now our second hour, we have three individuals in studio with us. As you may recognize the name, Daryl Habish. He's the media relations person at FEMA. He's back in studio and he's brought along with him Allison Schiffner, who is she's an environmental specialist, and then also Erin Leswing, and she is the historic preservation specialist, again, with FEMA. Welcome to the studio, everyone.
So nice to be here.
It's always so nice to have you here. It's probably about five times now, right?
I love it. Thank you very much.
Every time Daryl comes, he brings the most interesting people that do the most fascinating and helpful things, and that's where we are now privileged enough to meet you two ladies here again. Welcome, Allison and Erin.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, let me tell you a little bit more about each of these ladies because they're very special. Allison was born and raised in the Monroe Township, New Jersey, in Middlesex County. She has a BS in Ecology and Natural Resource Management from Rutgers University, Cook College. Prior to FEMA, she held several internships and temporary biological. I thought I was doing so well here. technician positions with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, conducting shorebird nesting surveys and salt marsh integrity monitoring, as well as participated in migratory songbird banding studies. That's a tongue. That's a lot. In 2012, after Hurricane Sandy hit and there was need to hire locals in New Jersey, she joined the FEMA Environmental and Historic Preservation staff as an environmental specialist. Woo! Got one. That's great. All right, Allison. Wow. Now, Aaron is a registered professional archaeologist who meets the Secretary of Interior qualifications for history, architectural history, and archaeology. She specializes in archaeology, standing structures, and museum collections. Aaron has received the U.S. Coast Guard Presidential Unit Citation in 2007 and I'm not even going to go with that one. You can tell us later about this unit team accommodation in 2009. She received a Bachelor of Arts in History and a Master of Arts in Anthropology from Monmouth University, as well as Master in Liberal Studies with a concentration in Public History from Rutgers University. She's focused on Northeast Historic Archaeology or Archaeology. With an interest in coastal and recreational areas. Her specialization in above-ground resources consists of boardwalks, lighthouses, Coast Guard stations, life-saving stations, and amusement structures. That's incredible. Both of you guys. Wow.
Yeah, it was a great show. Thank you.
You're not kidding. We only have 3 minutes to go to the break. See how fast it goes? No, that's really, both of you guys are so, like, you've done so much and you've learned so much. So tell us, let's start off a little bit here, Allison, you first. Why does FEMA have an environmental planning and historic preservation group? And what is your role within EHP at FEMA?
Well, my role is an environmental reviewer. So I basically do compliance reviews for all FEMA-funded projects. I specialize mainly in the Hurricane Sandy projects in New Jersey. But the overarching law that requires FEMA to have EHP, or Environmental Planning and Historic Preservation, is called the National Environmental Policy Act. It basically requires all federal agencies to do environmental reviews to consider their impacts that their federally funded projects have to the environment. It basically puts a procedure in place that requires us to do these environmental reviews. So underneath the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, there's many laws, the Endangered Species Act, the Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act. So we will review for all of those laws to make sure every project is compliant.
Wow. So now this is already 3 years. Is it, how long has it been?
It's been 2.5.
2.5 years, right? Mm-hmm. So do you want to tell us a little bit about you and your role as?
Sure.
Erin?
I started in 2011 with Irene. And I started as just an archaeologist, came in and worked on those projects and brought into the Derecchio. And I worked through that. And then Sandy hit. Mm-hmm. So I proceeded to stay on with that disaster. I moved into our main office, which was in, where was it at that time? What town was it in?
Are you in Eaton?
Lincroft.
Town? Oh, Lincroft.
It was in Lincroft at that time. Mm-hmm. And I started branching out and learning structures and collections because we had a large need for those. I had the staff around me to learn from them. At that point, I was able to become a generalist in our office doing archaeology, structures, and collections.
So, like, what exactly does that mean?
Means anything on the historic side mm-hmm. of the EHP office, so Environmental Historic Planning mm-hmm. and Preservation, I work on. So above ground, below ground, and collections.
And what does collections mean? I mean, I get it,
museum,
but I want to know
collections.
More.
So anything that would be in a museum that would be cataloged as important to that museum would have a special cataloging number that they consider essential to their museum. They would inventory, give this number, and then put on display, and that would categorize it as a collection.
So can you speak about any examples of that? I don't know if you're allowed to.
We looked at several collection items, also PNPs, which are private nonprofits, and we help the private nonprofits recover as well as their collections within them. Some of the large projects we did were Lucy the Elephant. She's a National Historic Landmark.
Right.
She only had damage to her building.
Wow.
So we helped work with that. We've also worked with Keyport, the Steamboat Dock Museum, and they had collections and building damage. So we went in and we helped them develop an emergency plan and go through the collections there. Mainly, our job is to work with the public assistance program to ensure that the collections that we are helping to give grant money to be restored are properly taken care of and done correctly. And then we also would like additional conditions, if you will. An emergency plan so that we're not refunding these at a later date. And we also are there to assist PA in any policy as far as understanding types of collection, restoration, or conservation. Because we do not fund conservation of artifacts or collections. We only will help with the repair to a pre-disaster condition. And if the item is completely destroyed, we unfortunately cannot help fund that because it's gone. So my job, mainly as a collection specialist, is to ensure that we fall within this policy and that the procedure that is taken on by the museum is consistent with that policy.
Wow. I cannot believe that you guys are even, I'm just sitting here in awe, really, because I can't believe that there are, that another division or so
it's amazing, isn't
got
it?
This program. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, I mean, I'm hoping a lot, I believe that our listeners are all saying, I did not know that we even had the ability to have these types of programs. And
well, especially here in New Jersey and on the East Coast. I mean, this is nothing but history. Architecturally important buildings. And I've been on many, many disasters throughout the United States. And although environmental historic preservation is a part of it, here it's a major, major part. And I don't think a lot of people realize what goes into it.
I myself want to learn more about it. We're going to go to our break real quick. It's already 4:16 in the afternoon on May 13th. But we'll be right back, and we're going to continue our conversation here about preservation, historic, and FEMA. Thanks.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group, have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntertonChamberRadio.com app today.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Welcome back to the show. It's Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. Hope you're having a great day. It's about 4:19 on May 13th, and we have three individuals, outstanding leaders from FEMA in our studio today. Daryl Habish, which he's been here many times, bringing us the most interesting public service information from FEMA. He's in the Media Relations Department. And then we have Allison Schiffner. She is the environmental specialist, and then also Erin Leswing, and she's the historic preservation specialist. So we're dissecting these now for the next 10 minutes or so, and we're going to talk specifically to Allison about the environmentalist side of it so we can understand a little bit more. Allison, why don't you tell us a little bit about how does FEMA determine compliance with a particular environmental law?
Sure. So before I mention, there were several laws we review for. A few of those are the Endangered Species Act, the Clean Air Act, Coastal Zone Management Act, Migratory Bird Treaty Act. I could go on and on. There are quite a few. We also have some executive orders for floodplains, wetlands, environmental justice. And it really depends on the law. For some of the laws, we review against a set of criteria put in place by the regulatory agency. So for Clean Water Act, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, they're the regulatory agency. They're the ones that come up with the laws, the permits and for that law. FEMA is strictly the funding agency. Mm-hmm. So we would just make sure that the project follows the permits for that law, and Army Corps is really the ones to regulate those and to enforce it. And then a lot of the other laws, for our reviews, we interact a lot with the regulatory agency. So for something like the Endangered Species Act, we would do consultations with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So in that case, FEMA, or myself as an environmental specialist, I would assess the impacts that the project has to federally listed species that are protected under the Endangered Species Act. And then I would consult with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on the project to determine if conditions of funding are necessary.
Do you have, like, can you give us an example of an endangered species that you've actually had hands on?
Sure. There's a lot of endangered species, well, federally listed species. They could be endangered or threatened in New Jersey. Because Sandy impacted the coast, the Jersey Shore, basically, the Atlantic coastline, the most, we've done a lot of projects with piping plover. They're a shorebird that nests on the Atlantic coast. There are several plants that were affected. Swamp pink, sensitive joint vetch, sea beach amaranth is another one that grows on the coast. A whole host of animals, bog turtle, the northern long-eared bat, which was recently listed, the Indiana bat. And then we look at endangered species, but we also consider migratory birds because there's the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, which is another law. And bald eagle is still something we look at, even though they were taken off the list.
How do you keep up on all of this? I can't imagine. I mean, really, right? I mean, what happens, your process?
We have really good communication with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We're constantly communicating with them. We have to look at the website a lot to make sure things are always updated. But it's basically the sharing of information is how we keep on top of it. Every year, we have to sit down and go through our species list and make sure everything's up to date.
How many people work in your department, about?
Right now, I think probably there's less than 20, right?
16 or 17.
That's a lot.
When we started, though, when Hurricane Sandy first hit, there was over 30 people, probably, within EHP. And as things have wound down over the past 2 years, we've gotten smaller.
Less. So can you kind of give us an idea? Okay, so how would you step in? Do you actually, do people call you up? And how does it start? What give us your process a little bit.
Well, so we work with both the Public Assistance Program mm-hmm. and the Hazard Mitigation Program. So Public Assistance, they will speak with applicants directly. They will write up projects called a project worksheet, which is their scope of work of things they need federal funding for. We do a lot of like the public infrastructure, so fixing a municipal building or a police station, something like that. That project worksheet will then go through a process of different queues. There's an insurance queue, it'll come to a mitigation queue, then it eventually comes to the EHP queue, the Environmental and Historic Preservation queue. We'll get the worksheet, we'll check it out. We'll go through the entire review process. So I will look at the scope of work. I will basically review it against the 13 laws that we have, make sure everything is compliant. Aaron will do the same thing against the National Historic Preservation Act to make sure things are compliant on the historic side. And then once we give it the okay, it'll go through and funding will be allocated. And in certain situations, a scope of work will put conditions on it. So in order to comply with a law such as Endangered Species Act, if they're working during a sensitive time period, like when a plover may be nesting on the coastline, we'll put a condition on there that the project cannot be done until after the nesting season, stuff like that. So that's basically how the process works. We do the same with the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, which is, acquisitions and elevations. It'll go every FEMA-funded project must go through our review queue. And if in the future the scope of work changes, it must come back to EHP So we review it again to make sure things are still compliant.
And are you only in the geography of New Jersey?
Yes.
What you're doing? I'm only trying to just understand it, because I wanted you to talk a little bit about how FEMA helped to restore the Delaware Bay shore area, recover from Sandy.
Right. So Hurricane Sandy impacted the entire state in one way or another. Mm-hmm. There were many ecologically sensitive areas impacted, the Pinelands, the Highlands, the Meadowlands, of course, the Atlantic coastline. But I think an often overlooked part of the Jersey Shore, it is the Jersey Shore that was impacted, is the Delaware Bay Shore side and the western coast of New Jersey. They had a lot of flooding, erosion to their beaches, damaged a lot of coastal structures. And the Delaware Bay Shore, it's a very important and unique ecosystem. There's a lot of biodiversity there. There's a lot of wetlands, beaches, woodlands, and it's very important to migrating shorebirds. It's a stopover grounds, especially during this time of year, actually, May and June. I know there's horseshoe crabs and red knots already spotted down there. But birds such as, you know, dunlin, semi-palmated sandpipers, sanderlings, and of course the federally listed red knot, they'll stop over in the thousands this time of year to feed on the horseshoe crab eggs, because they have to replenish their body weight because they're migrating from the very bottom of South America all the way up to the Canadian Arctic. And New Jersey is basically that, you know, like stopover point where they come in emaciated and they have to replenish their body weight so they can continue on their journey.
So what do you guys do for that?
Right. So FEMA has, you know, funded many projects in that area. One significant one that I can think of that we helped out with, it was with the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, and it involved the acquisition of, I think it was in the 30s, 35 maybe, homes along a stretch of road that was right up on the coastline of the Delaware Bay in Lawrence Township in Cumberland County. And these homes were severely damaged. They were repetitively damaged, so they were damaged in prior storms. And so the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection applied for FEMA funding for their Blue Acres program, also called its Green Blue Acres program. They wanted to acquire the properties and then turn that land into green space. So normally that's what happens. The properties are acquired, demolished, the land's turned into green space, but in this situation, because of all the debris in this area, a restoration plan had to be also developed that we would fund. So we basically worked with Blue Acres. We funded some of the demolitions, and then also the NRCS, which is the National Resource Conservation Service, part of USDA. They came in and funded a bunch of other of the homes. And we worked together with them, with Army Corps of Engineers, with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It was a very collaborative event that happened. I think they're still doing it now. I know they started to acquire and demolish the homes, but this entire shoreline now, this whole stretch of road where these 30 houses were, is now going to be restored and turned into horseshoe crab habitat so that the red knots can now go back there and forage too.
So that's taken almost 3 years.
It's taken a long time.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, my God, tremendous amount. I think that's a short period of time for so many decisions and all of the different layers that you have to go through.
There was a lot involved with this project.
What happened to the people? Sorry, that sounds like kind of weird, but what happened to the people?
So it's a voluntary program. Okay. They have to be willing to participate in it. So I guess for them, they saw it as a good option to have their homes acquired by Blue Acres, and then the land is turned into green space.
Yeah, and the Blue Acres program is really run through the state.
Okay.
So it's a voluntary program, and it's to basically turn repetitively damaged.
Well, they're lucky they have an option, right?
And it's a great option
for
them.
Yes, oh my goodness, yeah, absolutely.
Right, and we can use all of the restored coastline that we can get down in the Bay Shore, because the red knot was proposed to be listed under the Endangered Species Act for a long time, and finally they listed it, I think it was this year in January, as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. So it now has the full protection of the act. And the coastline, although it's developed less than the Atlantic coastline of New Jersey, it's still, with the development and then the over-harvesting of the horseshoe crabs, their population has declined tremendously since 1980. So hopefully, you know, slowly, if we start to restore these areas and put restrictions on the horseshoe crabs, the population hopefully will start to increase some more. So
I don't really think I've ever learned so much in my entire life. Like, really, today. This is very important for everybody out there, because I'm sure you're all going, is that Jeannie? Because it's not like me today. Because I'm so totally engaged by this conversation, and I can't get over the work that you guys do. And also, right. I have to say how young you both are and how much you're doing. And, you know, people just don't think about what you have to do.
First and foremost, you know, FEMA's mission is to help survivors recover from the disaster. Mm-hmm. But, you know, through EHP and our environmental review process, we also are very conscious about natural resources and conservation. So through projects like this, you know, we are helping the survivors and, you know, potentially a population of endangered species to recover in the
I love it. I, you know, for 3 years, a lot of conversations about Sandy, and I've never heard anything in this way at all. So I'm really glad to have you here. We're going to go to our quick break. It's going to be a short break, only 2 minutes for the news, and we'll be right back. This is Talented People.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The investigation into the derailed Amtrak train continues. The death toll is now at 7. Passenger Jeffrey Cutler says the train seemed to fly off the tracks.
To me, it felt like it was taking off. It went into the air, went around the curve. The speed around the curve sort of pushed the train off the track.
And a midshipman was among those killed, according to Navy Secretary Ray Mabus.
I want to take a moment to honor the memory Midshipman Third Class Justin Zimzer, and we lost last night.
Meanwhile, Philadelphia police officers say the train's engineer has declined to provide a statement to investigators, but authorities say the recovered data recorder should help answer some questions.
The event recorders themselves can give you information about the speed of the train, any brake application.
That was National Transportation Safety Board spokesman Robert Sumwalt. This is USA Headline News.
Hey, here's your delivery from Staples.com.
Thanks, Staples guy. My office needs coffee bad. Got any?
Yep, and at a low price.
You have cups?
Staples has 12-ounce cups, 8-ounce recyclable.
Stirrers, filters, creamers, sweeteners?
Stirrers, filters, creamers, sweeteners, K-cups.
Hazelnut, French vanilla, French roast, dark, light, medium, bold, extra bold?
And decaf.
Why would you say that? Why would you say that? Why would you say that?
No reason.
Make on budget happen. Make caffeinated happen. Staples, make more happen. Now at Staples, get a 1-pound bag of Starbucks coffee for just $9.99.
Offer valid in-store and online. Ends 5/16 while supplies last. See store or Staples.com for details.
Musicians, it's the biggest guitar, amp, and effects event of the year. Guitar Center's Guitarathon. Over 250,000 guitars, amps, pedals, and accessories. At least 15% off our everyday low price. Every shape, every neck, every finish. Acoustic guitars, just $99. Flame top Les Pauls, 20% off. Now just $159. Three sets of Daddario electric guitar strings, just $9. It's your chance to save big on the best selection of gear on the planet. Don't miss Guitar Center's Guitarathon. Going on now.
Okay, welcome back to the show. If you're listening along, we're having a really interesting conversation. I don't think I've ever learned so much in a half hour, and we have another half hour to go, so I'm going to walk out kind of dizzy today in a good way, because I'm learning right now from Daryl Habish. He's the media relations person who's generously brought about 5 rounds of people from FEMA over to us to learn about their recovery and their preparedness plans and so on. Two of the ladies in studio today, one is Allison Schiffner. She was just speaking. She is the environmental specialist, and she was talking all about opposite of the historic preservation specialist is Aaron Leswing. And so learning about the environmental considerations and what you guys do, and then we are going to shift over and learn a little bit more about the historic side. But I did want to ask you again, Allison, during the break we were talking about an idea of how many different reviews you've had to do, and together you guys had, can you tell a little bit about that? You're like over 5,100?
Yeah, there's several types of projects we review, but for public assistance projects alone, I think it was just over 5,000, so maybe like 5,200 projects. Sometimes a few come in now. 5,200 recovery projects with that program, and then for hazard mitigation grant program, we've done probably about 1,500 elevation reviews. We've done many acquisition reviews, and now that, you know, Sandy is, the recovery is starting to wind down a little bit, all of these projects are eventually going to have to come back through the EHP review again. We'll have to look at them again to make sure any conditions we applied to the projects, whether it was for any of the environmental laws or for the historic laws, that the applicant complied with the conditions. So we still have a pretty long way to go in our environmental part of it, at least the recovery.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And 5,100, 5,200, that's just an incredible number. I can't imagine, you know, and all the time that you put into it, all the details, and especially for the endangered species and all the very important matters that you are overseeing. So, okay, now, Aaron, I want to know about you, because I know that you are on the historic preservation specialist side. What about your role? And also, I'd like to know a little bit about you as the tribal liaison.
At FEMA, I actually fulfill several roles. As a historic preservation specialist, I'm mostly an archaeologist by trade. That's what I went to school for. That's my main specialty. Mm-hmm. But I also do structures and collections. And with Sandy recovery, I also fulfill a program that's called Low Impact Debris Removal Stipulation Compliance, and I'm the program coordinator. So for our elevations and acquisitions, I will determine by guidelines set forth if these projects are compliant. We put this condition on ahead of time to help kind of not move things through, but give guidelines to the contractor to minimize impacts on the ground and potential archaeological resources, because all of New Jersey is sensitive. And we don't always know what could be under what we're working with. So this particular stipulation, which we call LIDS in our office, and some people call it LIDAR, depends who you talk to, it helps us talk with the contractor and give them those guidelines to protect resources. So I coordinate that particular program. I also am the archaeological field crew chief. So when we do have field work, I fulfill that role in the field as being a crew chief and overseeing a staff if we need a staff for any archaeological projects. Phase ones, which would be some digging of holes to test the soils, or monitoring a demolition, which would be to oversee the demo of a house to make sure they're compliant with the conditions we've set forth on that. I also work with New Jersey Cultural Alliance for Response. I'm there as a liaison from FEMA EHP to work with them to help them develop an emergency plan for cultural institutions throughout the state of New Jersey. And they're building this program currently. And I'm there to assist them because of my experience, not only in environmental and historic preservation, but also because of my emergency management background. So I'm able to see the potential impacts that museums, libraries, and cultural institutions as a whole could sustain during disasters. And I'm there to help facilitate conversations and develop their program and how they want to respond to disasters in the future. But mostly, my love is being the tribal specialist. It's a government-to-government communication. In New Jersey, we do not have any current tribes that live here, but we have federally recognized tribes with ancestral lands. And federally recognized tribes have the ability to be a sovereign nation. So we, as the federal government, will communicate with these governments as a government to government and include them on anything that might potentially impact their ancestral lands in New Jersey. But I'm talking about all this and you're probably all thinking, what does this mean? Why is this significant? And why is FEMA doing it? Well, my job particularly falls under the National Historic Preservation Act, 1966. And it basically says that any time that the federal government undertakes work, one federal dollar, we're going to need to assess the impacts on historic or cultural resources. And this is particularly Section 106, and it helps to preserve archaeological sites and the creation of the National Register for Historic Places, National Historic Landmarks like Lucy, and the SHPO, which is the State Historic Preservation Office. So New Jersey has one as well, New Jersey State Historic Preservation Office, and this created those as well for us to communicate with. Mm-hmm. And this law basically is why I'm here. It's like an umbrella with NEPA, and then this law falls under it. And I'm here to help ensure that we follow this law. And that's where the coordinator program falls under a compliance program that ensures we're compliant ultimately under the National Historic Preservation Act, the archaeological, also making sure we're compliant with the National Historic Preservation Act, as well as the tribal liaison that also falls under the big umbrella of the National Historic Preservation Act, making sure that we do proper communications with tribal nations. And like I said, in New Jersey, we do not have any currently residing federally recognized tribes. And when I say federally recognized, they're recognized by stipulations set forth by the federal government and recognized at the federal level. There are state-recognized tribes. There are also tribes that do not hold any recognition as far as state and federal. But for FEMA, we deal directly with federal recognized tribes. And we do have a tribal affairs office that does most of the communication. But FEMA EHP also has its own tribal liaison to deal specifically with archaeological issues, which would pertain to the ancestral lands here in New Jersey. New Jersey has a long history, even before European contact, with Native American occupation, campsites, traveling, fishing. They live all up and down the coast, and it's just, it's very important that we consider all of what we do on these lands and consult with the tribes. And so I particularly will assess projects and determine if it's going to impact potential resources and reach out to the tribes. And like I said, we don't have those tribes here, but they have the lands here. So we want to make sure that we reach out to these tribes, and they are, most of them are out in Oklahoma area.
Oh, I was going to ask that. Is that where they're raised?
Most of them have moved out to that way. There was a reservation here in New Jersey at one time long ago. It was called Brotherton. It was out in the Pine Barrens area. And it was not a very successful reservation. Eventually, they moved either up toward New York or moved out west. So now we just have the ancestral lands. But we do communicate with a lot of tribes like Delaware Nation, Delaware Tribe of Indians, Shawnee, Eastern Shawnee, Absentee Shawnee, and Stockbridge Munsee.
Wow.
So we have a good relationship. I've worked with the tribal preservation officers, which they designate in their government. And we are able to communicate with them on projects throughout.
I mean, I'm probably going to sound like such an idiot, but I'm going to ask anyway. You were talking about like 1966, where they started to put into the policies and procedures and so on. But before that, do you have a landscape of what in New Jersey, like how do you know when you're getting ready to dig something up?
Well, that law was developed in 1966. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, there was an antiquities law.
Okay.
But 1966 was a big year. It really developed that National Historic Preservation Law as we know it, with the SHPO and the National Historic Landmarks and the protection of archaeological sites. Like I said, there was a law before that, but it wasn't quite what you find with the National Historic Preservation Act.
And I can see where, like, now that you have all this FEMA work to do in recovery from Sandy and so on, Irene, that you would have to take a lot of records and keep everything very, very, very for the future of everything that you're working on. But I do wonder about how documented the past was. I mean, and also when you are getting ready to, like you said, you know, dig something up, and what happens if it's someone's personal property? Versus, I mean, can you give any kind of insight as to that? Like, if you get, you know, you get called into an area, a Sandy project, it happens to be on someone's property, and it has some type of overlap to the tribes, right? What happens to that?
Well, any project, we have conditions on it that if there's an unexpected discovery, that we are notified, as well as the State Preservation Office, and depending on the type of unexpected, there would be additional contacts. And if it's determined to be significant to the tribes, prehistoric, we will make that contact immediately, notify them. Usually we try to keep them in the loop ahead of time if we think something, there is the potential. Mm-hmm. So there would already be in the loop. Or we would reach out to them right away and let them know what's going on to include into a conversation. And we would go from there depending on what we had determined through that conversation.
It's just fascinating. Like, it really is just, you know, you start to think about it and you're like, oh my God, you know, I mean, I know that there's arrowheads. That's just the level you're talking to over here, you know, all over the areas, and people bring them up. And I had one person on the show who was actually, that's what he does, is looks for arrowheads in certain areas and someone finds them. So I don't know. I just hadn't thought about it. And especially when it comes to the tribes, because, you know, I know in a lot of other states, everything is all with the casinos and the properties and all this stuff is very important to respect everybody's, you know, history. So what else can you tell us, anything else on your list of things to do over there? Because I think we're getting caught up and we have our commercial break right now.
Well, I do want to make sure that everybody knows that, yes, there are cultural differences between, obviously, FEMA, the federal government, America, its citizens, myself, and tribes, tribal nations, and their people. But ultimately, FEMA's mission is not affected by that. We make sure that we have qualified staff, that there's training available, that they're familiar with the area, as well as tribal practices. And we communicate, and we reach out to them on a regular, monthly, weekly, whatever we have decided prior to that, to make sure that we are able to include them in all of our discussions. So, like I said,
well, you can tell. I mean, you guys are both, you both have titles of specialists. You know, Allison, you're environmental specialist, and then Aaron, you're the historic preservation specialist. And you guys are specialists. And so you're here talking, and again, on my channel, but I'm like learning so much because you know what you're doing. And it does say something to FEMA, Daryl, to your organization, mm-hmm. to bring in such specialists that have such an obvious, sincere passion and interest in what they're doing. I, you know, really want to thank you guys. We're going to go to our break real quick. We'll be right back with Talented People.
Hi, I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel. Iron
in New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. They're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to forwardnewjersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunter.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, hunterdonchamber.org, for more information today.
All right, welcome back to the end of the show here at Talented People. It's 4:49 already on Wednesday, the 13th of May. Hope you're enjoying our conversation We have Aaron and Allison in studio right now. Aaron's the historic preservation specialist with FEMA in the state of New Jersey for Hurricane Sandy recovery, and Allison is the environmental specialist, and also Daryl Habish, a media relations person who's brought all of these wonderful people from FEMA onto our show over the past 2.5 years. So thank you, Daryl. Mm-hmm. All right, so ladies, did you want to share a little bit more about some of your programs or diversity and what you all take on? Or
When we say that we review any project with one federal dollar, that could be anything, and it really is anything. Like I said before, Lucy the Elephant, a National Historic Landmark, Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City, another National Historic Landmark, and those are projects that we've looked at, that we've had to review, and that fall within a special review process because they're National Historic Landmarks. We've also looked at lighthouses, Romer Shoal Lighthouse, interesting boat ride out to see this lighthouse. But we've done other things like boardwalks and dune projects, and then private homes for acquisitions, elevations, generators, so infrastructure like that. We've even done roads and bridges and culverts and things of that such. So we do the slew of projects. So it's different in the sense that when I went into becoming an archaeologist, I think I thought I was just going to dig in the dirt. And then I ended up at FEMA, and I'm reviewing boardwalks and bridges and lighthouses and archaeological sites. So when we say we're specialists, we're specialized, but we're generalized in the types of diverse projects we look at. And we also have to have an engineering hat to understand plans sure. and such. And we have to be good dealing with other people, so good communication skills and customer service dealing, because the people are our customers, and it is essential for us to do that. So even though we're specialized, we're generalized.
Right. I like that. That's a nice little tagline.
Can I ask a question here? Is what when you talk about examining all of these projects and so forth, so if you're looking at a bridge and as an archaeologist and historic preservation, does that mean that they have to return to that bridge to the state it was pre-disaster, or is it a little different? Is it within the guidelines of the historic relevance of that bridge?
That's a great question.
Can it be mitigated? Is this something that you work with?
For EHP, however, the applicant or sub-applicant, because the applicant's the state and then the sub-applicant's the municipality, mm-hmm. however they decide to go forth with that project, we review. So if they want to mitigate it, we review that. If they want to turn it to pre-disaster, we review that. For us, it's just looking at it a different way. If they're going to mitigate it, we may have to reach out to the state preservation office, or we may have to make sure they have certain environmental permitting, or we may have to look deeper into the archaeology. So it's just looking at it differently, not mm-hmm. that they can't do it, because there's EHP does not tell people they can't.
Right.
We do
right.
not say that you can't do it. Our job is to just take what they've given us and review it, and maybe review it a little differently.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, like Lucy, let's say, which I love. I've been down there, did my donation, save Lucy. But if they want, and when we say mitigate, it really that means just to prepare it for future events and disasters so that it withstands it better. So in that case, you know, if they wanted to actually raise the building or something like that, even as a National Historic Landmark, you would be able to work with those plans. And maybe we shouldn't talk about Lucy. But as a general rule,
generally, they
are allowed to change the...
Well, like I said, we will review it.
Right.
We will always review the projects that are handed to us. The National Historic Preservation Act does set forth stipulations on how we review it mm-hmm. and what is considered an impact to the resource or not an impact to the resource. So if we're going to elevate Lucy, we might need
Which
to
we're not, but
look
I mean, it's
at
just
it a different way
right.
and reconsider that.
Yeah.
But overall, these laws give us guidelines. The National Historic Preservation Act does have certain guidelines. Secretary of Interior standards for which a project should be returned to if it qualifies under that particular law.
So interesting. Did you have something to add there, Allison?
No, just, you know, like Aaron said, most of our projects, they're completely different. We have so many different types of projects that we review, and we just, you know, each project's unique. We just have to go through the process, look at every single law, see what applies, see what doesn't, and in some cases, you know, in order for compliance, we must put conditions on the project, and then, you know, in closeout, we'll look to see that those conditions were followed to ensure compliance. And yeah, Sandy was just a very large disaster. We had a lot of projects.
Yeah, well, over 5,100 or so, you said. I can't even fathom being in charge of looking at these, and, you know, and it's, everybody wants their stuff fixed immediately or looked at and everything. So, you know, good job. What's next now? Can you tell a little bit about the closeout process?
Well, it's a cycle. It's a continuing cycle, so it'll be going on for quite some time. Mm-hmm. As we go through we call it a closeout. Every project, again, as it wraps up, is reviewed, and EHP, Environmental Historic Preservation, is a large part of that. Mm-hmm. Just to make sure, you know, this is just one of the many areas of FEMA that we don't that the public or, you know, really don't know about or think about it.
Right.
But you have to be. It comes back to just being good stewards of. Mm-hmm. Not just the management of the recovery from our standpoint, being partners with the state, but also of the taxpayers' dollars. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to take all of this into consideration. It does take time. It's just a lot of paperwork, and don't we all hate that?
Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't do it, if you don't cross your T's and dot your I's, somewhere along the line, 10 years from now, they're going to go, what were they thinking?
Right.
Why didn't they look at this? We know that this is, you know, important, and why didn't we think about these species and
yes.
the historical significance of this? So, you know, it's truly, it's a group effort between the state, the federal, all of the agencies involved.
Well, although Sandy was, like you said, such mm-hmm. a huge disaster and mm-hmm. terrible, we have learned so much. And I know bringing you on with all of your colleagues, I think, you know, we've learned a lot. Everybody's learned a lot. You guys have gotten your preparedness stuff out there, and it's helping so many businesses and individuals, you know, so that next time around, maybe it'll be a little easier on everybody.
Well, and that's really our goal, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, both yours and ours, mm-hmm. our goal is that, you know, it's going to happen again. It may not be the severity mm-hmm. that we saw, we hope not, with Sandy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are hurricanes,
right.
and it's going to come through again mm-hmm. in some fashion. So if we can fortify and mitigate and help us all to better withstand the next one, that's what it's all about. And you have been a significant contributor to that, in our opinion, along with Hunterdon Chamber Internet Radio. I mean, it's really about getting the word out there, and you've been a great partner.
Well, thank you. And it's our pleasure. And I know our listeners out there are the same. They're thanking you guys and, you know, through me right now. So, again, and thank you all, listeners, for listening in and just making it such a great experience for everybody. But Allison and Aaron, I just want to congratulate you on your work, and on behalf of the state of New Jersey and residents, and to Daryl, thank you again. You guys have a great week out there listening, and we'll be back on Talented People next week.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the What's Up With Real Estate Show with Joe Eggert, and we have the wonderful
Tony Page coming to you live from smoking hot Flemington, New Jersey.
It is smoking out there, man. I'm telling you, we're supposed to do the weather. Just stick your head out the window. Man, it is a phenomenal day.
Very nice.
Geez.
Little breeze.
The other day I was outside, man, it was cooking hot. And now today is just magnificent, and we're supposed to get a little rain. We need it badly, I hear.
We do.
When
do my lawns